الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على النبي المصطفى وبعد. Anybody remember what we covered last week? How much of Isra and Mi'raj did we cover? Anybody remember anything? The night in Jannah, night ascension. So the whole from Mecca, what happened? So where did he go first? That's true. The ascension, but where did he go first? That's Mi'raj. Okay, well, number one, what does Isra mean? Course, right? Night? Isra, ma ma'an al-Isra. أي سبحان الذي أسرى مصدر أسرى نعم لكن ما معنى الإسراء الذهاب الليل the night journey yeah to go meaning إسراء أسرى literally means to travel at night that's what it means but إسراء Islamically is because See, what you can have is, salah can mean dua. Salah means dua. Literal meaning of salah is dua. However, in Islam, it's got a technical meaning, and it's got this meaning in religion, which is our specific salah we perform. Right? So similarly, isra literally means to travel at night. The technical meaning, or the meaning that is now utilized for in our faith, is the night journey from Mecca to? And beyond. We're going. So that's Isra, travel the whole journey, the night journey, right? So he went from Mecca to where did he go? Masjid al-Aqsa. What did he do there? He led the salah. He led the salah. How many rakat? Two, mashallah, two rakat. Who did he lead? The prophets. And what was he presented with? Go on.
Jibreel alayhi salam asked him which one to choose, and the options were right and wrong, which represent purity and impurity.
That's exactly it. But I mentioned something last week. What does milk represent? You said purity, that's fine. But what do we know from certain dreams? That milk represents knowledge. Do you remember the narration? No, that was Rasulullah. That was Rasulullah. That the milk was seeping or oozing out of his fingers, and who was drinking it? Umar radiallahu anhu. And they asked, Ya Rasulullah, how have you interpreted this? Or Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal al-ilm, knowledge. That doesn't mean every time you see it, it's that, but it's just possible. It's just possible. And that's an example of it being pure. Then what happened? Who did Rasulullah see as he was ascending? So Jibreel took him, that's true. But who did he see?
The first guy, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam.
Second one,
Nuh alayhi salam.
The
Quran. So number one, Adam alayhi salam. I'm gonna say something right over here, just to draw certain parallels. But it's not necessarily the case. It's just people see the symbolism in here. So I'll explain. So say Adam alayhi salam was met first. Adam alayhi salam was expelled from Jannah. Rasulullah was expelled from Medina. That was the first heaven. Second one, he met. Who did he meet in the second one? Sorry? No. Yahya and. Yahya alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam. What do you think the resemblance would be with that?
No, that's not very cool. Just trying to find what I wrote. What do you think the resemblance would be with Yahya alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam? So, okay, number one, we need to clarify. When Rasulullah met different prophets at different stages, does that mean one was better than the other?
No.
Okay, that's good. It's a common error that say Ibrahim alayhi salam was above, therefore he was the greatest. Things like this. There was no, it was just chronological. Well, not necessarily chronological, but it was just how he met. Okay, Yahya alayhi salam were next, and they were the closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chronologically. They were closest to Rasulullah in time period. On the third one, who did he meet? On the third heaven. Third Sama. No, I'm not third one. There's only one. Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam. And what do you think Yusuf alayhi salam represented? True, beauty. What else? Yusuf alayhi salam's family betrayed him. Yusuf alayhi salam's family betrayed him. And they eventually repented and he accepted them back. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is now returning to Mecca, what did he say? He said the words of Yusuf alayhi salam, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. Just like in Afghanistan. There's no no revenge today. يغفر الله لكم, may Allah forgive you. So that was the resemblance with Yusuf alayhi salam. On the fourth heaven, Idris alayhi salam. Fifth heaven, Harun alayhi salam. Sixth was Musa alayhi salam. And seventh, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Well, just right. Now, look, the problem about all of this is that, you know, when you have to go through all of these narrations, you don't get time stamps to say this happened first, this happened, this happened. Well, in one narration, you might find it. But when you're looking across different narrations, you struggle with this. It's throughout history. Any history book you pick up, it's always difficult finding the chronological order of things. All right, what happened first? You try and figure it out, but you just don't 100% know. So that's one of the struggles with Mi'raj also, what happened when. So another point over here, during this entire period, there was a certain point when Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Ya Muhammad, O Rasulullah, give my salam to your ummah and inform them that the soil of Jannah is beautiful, but it's empty. The soil is beautiful, but it's empty. And its trees are planted through uttering Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, and Allahu Akbar. Meaning, it's empty, so build your thing in this lifetime. So now you're over here, people buy plots, etc. to try and think. It's empty land, you can build. It's fruitful. But it requires your Subhanallah, your ibadat, your dhikr, not just limited to them, but your in general, your a'mal, to build that Jannah. Then Rasulullah ﷺ met the gatekeeper of hell. Who's that? The gatekeeper of hell. Who's the gatekeeper of Jahannam?
Malik.
Who said that? وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكَ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ. It's mentioned in the Quran that the people will cry and they will say, يَا مَالِكَ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ. Let your Lord just finish us off. Meaning, just let him just kill us. And he will say, قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. You are definitely here to stay. In the end, there's a different narration that they'll ask for death, they'll ask for multiple deaths, but they will not be granted death. So Rasulullah described Malik as being completely serious, and never, not smiling at all. And he said, this is a stark difference to the other angels that greeted Rasulullah with joy. And Rasulullah asked Jibreel alayhi salam, why? And Jibreel responded that he has never smiled or laughed since he was created. After seeing Jahannam, he never smiled. However, Jibreel added, were he to smile for anyone, it would be you. But even then, he didn't smile. It's just, you know, when you see certain, there's a doom and gloom, right, to a certain place. Now, even the gatekeeper is going to provide that to the individuals or the inhabitants of that place. Then Rasulullah ﷺ met the angels at their appointed stations, but Malik, who was stationed at Jahannam, was brought to Rasulullah ﷺ to convey his salam, to emphasize Rasulullah's distance from Jahannam. Rasulullah ﷺ then proceeded to above, to the seventh heaven, at which point he saw Sidratul Muntaha. Anybody know what Sidratul Muntaha is? What is it in? Anybody know what kind of tree it is? Sorry? Lower tree. Right.
Is it last shift between Jannah and where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala...
The arsh, where the arsh is. Sorry?
Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arsh is.
Yeah, so it's at near the location. Right. In Urdu, what is Beri Darakht mean? What does that mean? Beri Darakht. Beri Darakht.
Berry.
Oh, is that an actual berry? No, I don't think he means that. Ba ya ra ya. Does it have another meaning? Does he mean looked? No, other than that. Other than berry. Because if he would berry, they'd write it in brackets in English, but they specifically written it like that to represent lot tree. That's what I'm trying to figure. Because even I read it today again, it was written like that in one of the books. One of the muhaqqiqin researchers from some continent, he was written something on here. So I looked in his book and he translated it as that. But lot tree is what it's known as. They come over like that. So an overarching tree. And the branches extend forth over a vast area. You know, sometimes you don't see it like going across like that. No, it's a different type.
No, it's a different one. What we are talking, what we called it in our country, like that size, bigger, it's made like a...
But how does a tree? How does a tree look? How does a tree look?
A tree look like
it goes out like that. Okay, so it's that one. That one is the one.
If you put something in it, it's very hard to pull out.
Okay, so that is the same one. It's the same one. Okay. No, that's what it was written as that. So I thought it's trying to say berry, but I was like, no, it can't be translated. So that's why it's a lot tree. So it's overarching trees with branches extending over an area.
Yeah.
And it has delicious fruits and sweet scents.
Yeah.
Jibreel alayhi salam took him even higher. Now where was this? Which part was this? Which part was this? Which heaven is this? Yeah. Do you know which one? So you say seventh. Anybody else? So, yeah, it will be there. It'll be near there. But without a doubt, that's not. But the question over here is, where? Meaning, which sixth, seventh? Bayt al-Ma'mur. That's going to come. That's going to come. But something else. أين سدرة المنتهى؟ أي في السماء السابع أو السادس؟ Right. So they mentioned, some mentioned six, some mentioned seven. Well, the jama'ah, like many have provided, is that it starts at six, but it extends to seven and beyond. Reason being is in the narration of Ibn Masud radiallahu anhu, which mentions it's on the sixth, which means that how they've collected them, to say that it starts on the 6th, goes to the 7th and beyond. So, right, and they call the Sidratul Muntaha, you know that narration about you take the Arabian horse? You know that narration? What's the narration? Anybody know? That narration about how long it'll take an Arabian horse to go around the shadow of the tree. Right. It's often used for Subhanallah. Yeah. We look in the commentary of the Hadith, they refer it to Sidratul Muntaha, not to the Subhanallah tree. It's often used that when you say one Subhanallah, that's the size of the tree. The narration about Ghulishat Lahul Jannah mentions just that a tree will be planted. However, the narration which mentions about the Arabian horse is in reference to Sayyidina Rasul Muntaha. And that's not what an individual gets. That's the point to note. Rasulullah described four rivers flowing from Sidratul Muntaha. So from that tree, two are hidden and two are visible. Rasulullah asked Jibreel what they were, and he said the two hidden ones are the two rivers in Jannah, Kawthar and Salsabil. And the visible ones are the River Nile and Euphrates River. Throughout, and you know one thing about, you know this tree, you might think, why this tree? Throughout history, you always find that the tree was a symbol of peace, nourishment, and even for some, spirituality. So there's always like some form of affinity towards it. Then Rasulullah saw Al-Baytul Ma'mur, the frequented house. Now that's a structure equivalent to the Kaaba on earth, where directly above the Kaaba in the seventh heaven, that every day 70,000 angels visit the Baytul Ma'mur for the first time and their last time to do it. Once they've done it, they can't return. Now at this point, Rasulullah saw Jibreel in his original form. Unshackled from the limitations of this world, what do you think? How many wings did he have? 600. He had 600. And pearls and corals emanated from his feathers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Alhamdulillah, Fatir as-samawati wal ardi ja'ala al-malaika rusulan uli ajnihati mathna wa thulatha wa ruba', that all praises due to Allah, the originator of the heavens and the earth, who made angels as messengers with wings, 2, 3, or 4, and he mentions after that, يَزِيدُ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَا يَشَاءُ, he increases in the creation however he likes. So different numbers. And he's had 600 in his truest form. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentions that, you know, in regards to all of these, the verse in the Quran is, لَقَدْ رَأَى مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى, Rasulullah saw from Allah's majestic signs, and this was from amongst them. As in fact, he says that this is actually what it's in reference to. That when Allah says that he saw from his majestic signs, it's actually about Jibreel's 600 wings. That's Ibn Mas'ud's opinion. Rasulullah was then blessed with a divine meeting with Allah. Now one point before we move on, right? The meeting and the way the meeting was is ما يليق بشأنه, that which is according to his status. However, that is according to whatever is befitting, whatever is appropriate, we believe in that. We don't have the exact specifics. I even looked into about three different things. One of the researchers I looked in there, he didn't have anything on here. He just left it and said the meeting happened, and that was it. He left it silent there and moved on. Another researcher had the whole event, but all in one side. This is a researcher, Muhaqqiq. All in one side, and said beyond that, Allahu A'lam. And he said, مَا يَلِيقُ بِشَأْنِ, he said, whatever is according to appropriate, and he left it just there. So there isn't much, but there are large discussions that take place. We'll see. Then he said that I was caused to ascend forth. I also mentioned that I was caused to ascend forth, meaning I was caused to go up. Now that indicates Jibreel didn't accompany him. He would have said, Jibreel took me. On every other part we find, there's a reference to Jibreel taking him. But on this part was that I was caused to go ahead. Meaning, it's as though there was no accompany. So there's an indication there. And Rasulullah sees the pen for the first time, the first thing that was ever created. And Rasulullah, as he mentioned, that however the meeting happened, moving on from there. The reason I'm saying that is there are certain ahadith where certain sahaba asked Aisha Allahu anha about, did Rasulullah actually see Allah? And then she said she responded that لا يدرك الأبصار وهو يدرك الأبصار, that visions cannot encompass him, but he encompasses visions. Like no sight cannot capture him, but he captures sights. He can see everything, but he cannot be seen. Like Musa alayhi salam, tajalli, that the nur that was there, but he didn't actually see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, those things. What we know of the event, there are three things that we know. What do we know, three things that came out of there? Salah, one. Okay, good. Salah, one. Two other things that came out of there.
Intercession?
Shafa'ah, meaning that the believers will eventually enter Jannah. The final two verses of Surah Baqarah. So we'll go through each of them, right? So final two verses of Surah Baqarah about Amr al-Rasul, that the messenger believes in what has been revealed from Allah, and so do the believers. They all believe. كُلُّنْ أَمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَةِ وَكُتُبِ وَرَسُولِهِ. The power of aqaid, part of that. And then the dua, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا, all that till the end of that. Till the end of that. What's the virtue of these two ayat? What's the virtue of these two verses? Authentic narration on this. مَنْ قَرَأَ مَا فِي رِيْتٍ كَفَتَاهُ. Specifically, مَنْ قَرَأُ مَا فِي لَيْلَةٍ كَفَتَاهُ. What is it? Protection is part of it, but it's not everything. It's part of it. You're right, though. So مَنْ قَرَأُ, whoever prays these two at night, they're enough for him. Rasulullah has left it there. كَفَتَاهُ. They will be enough for him. Now that is from, in terms of protection, in terms of rizq, it's all-encompassing. So Rasulullah left it as, they will be sufficient for him. He left it there and left it ambiguous. Meaning it has several elements that it encompasses. It's not restricted and limited to just protection. So we said one of them was these two verses. What's another one? The promise that every ummah will eventually enter Jannah. And number three, Salah. Now we'll go back to Salah. So in terms of Salah, we hear that Rasulullah was given Salah. Then he went. Now, this is Allahu A'lam. We don't know exactly. But he would have passed by Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he was on the heaven lower, that Musa alayhi salam would stop him and tell him that's too much. So the point over here is, though, he would have passed Ibrahim alayhi salam. So there are a few possibilities. We don't know the real reason that why Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't say anything. But possibly a few reasons was that Musa alayhi salam had a very large ummah. So he had experience in dealing with large ummah. Meaning Musa alayhi salam would say, the only ummah that's going to be larger than his is going to be ours. So with his experience to know, and he had Bani Israel, who are not easy, saying that they will not be able to perform 50 salats. That's one possibility. Or number two, Ibrahim alayhi salam's spirituality was unmatched and unparalleled. In certain ways that for him 50 salats, that's, what is that? So for him, he didn't perceive it as a struggle. But for Musa alayhi salam, having experienced Bani Israel, just a possibility. We don't know the exact reason, just the possibilities. Just in case somebody says that, where was Ibrahim alayhi salam? So these possibilities why Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't say something. Because he would have passed by that heaven. Or maybe he didn't actually meet him on route. Anyway, so what we know, at the very minimum, Rasulullah went back 5 times. Whether he went back 10 times, meaning going back 9 times in the sense that 5, 5, 5 or not, we know he went back a minimum of 5 times. However, exactly, Allahu A'lam, we don't really know authentically. But what we know definitively is at least 5 times. Now, Musa alayhi salam eventually, when he told him, and he is reduced to 5, Rasulullah, when he reached this, oh, by the way, when this happened, he looked at Jibreel alayhi salam when Musa alayhi salam said this. Yeah, naturally, sometimes, you know, when somebody tells you something, you look at somebody for a second opinion, and Jibreel nodded. He nodded. Meaning, like, so not gave permission, but you want to be some, you know, you seek validation in the sense that somebody told you something, right? Is it valid or not? And you're already doubting. You see the validity in there, but you're not 100%. So, I'm not saying Rasulullah did that, but Rasulullah looked at Jibreel nodded, and then Rasulullah went. So, Rasulullah, when he was finally reduced to 5, Rasulullah then replied saying, I have gone back and forth and now I am embarrassed. That's the exact wording. But to ask Allah for more, meaning more concession. But I am content and happy. Meaning with whatever Allah has decreed, I'm happy with that. And then he called out, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called out, my obligation is decreed and I have eased the burden on my slaves. It is 5 salahs, but it will be rewarded as 50. And Rasulullah would also, he would perform a 50. On a daily basis, the 50 would be performed for Rasulullah. Some ulama even will have the opinion that it still remains mustahab. That's their stance. And one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began with 50 salahs was to, with a few wisdoms. One is that it attenuates. You know, when you hear a large number and it's finally reduced,
it's just easier. It's far easier when you hear that. It was 50 once, be grateful that it's 5. If people think that it's 5, they'll be like, oh, why do we have it 5 times a day? So be grateful that it was once 50, reduced to 5. One option, one possibility. Another one, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that our primary purpose in life is to worship, to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we can gain that by doing 5, it's as though we've done 50, and 50 is dedicating your, so 24 hours, and there's 50 salahs, is more than 2 per hour. So it's essentially life given. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Allah intends ease, and man has been made weak. So if Allah intends ease, and his man made, that doesn't mean that, you know, Allah intends ease, so you know these 5, I'll pray whenever I want, that's not thingy. These are now ordained and time specific. These are not to be, the 50 have been reduced to 5. But again, it's a concession from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing his mercy. But one of the final points before we finish off over here, you can read the first few verses of Surah Najm. It'll now make a lot more sense if you read Surah Najm, the first few verses. But it shows us importance and the significance of Salah. You imagine this entire journey, and it ends with Salah. These two verses of Surah Baqarah being given also. And, well, the Salah is the final part to begin because obviously he's returning. But the entire journey to be gifted Salah. Salah already existed, by the way. Salah was already there. But the obligation has now come. It's now formed. The obligation now came. But it shows the significance of Salah in a person's life, in a believer's life, that Rasulullah was taken on an entire journey to be given that gift. Any questions on what we've covered? Any part? Any questions? There won't be another session for 2 weeks, and we'll be talking about just before the two pledges and the return, and then Hijrah. We'll go on to Hijrah, migration to Medina. Any questions on what we've covered? Meaning he's the angel that brought the Quran. So, I'm not sure they describe that as, I'm not sure that you'd use terminology like that. But he was the mediator for him to receive, again, wahi. Not only that, Quran, you know how we have door, you have manzil, you read to somebody else. Rasulullah would do that with Jibreel. He would do that with him, so that's the sort of thing. When he came to teaching the hadith of Jibreel, he came to teach their religion, Mal Islam. What is Islam? Mal Iman, Mal Ihsan. What's Iman? What's Islam? What's Ihsan? What's perfection or excellence?
On the last slide, where the Ibrahim mentioned, meet the Prophet ﷺ, the last prophet before Muhammad ﷺ was Isa ﷺ. Why he is not mentioned in the last
thing? He came earlier. He came earlier with Yahya alayhi salam. Why? We don't 100% know. Even if we give an answer, we wouldn't know 100% because of any narrations on that. But assumptions, like what possibilities, Ibrahim alayhi salam was persevered extremely. Meaning, if they say, like, if there not if there was, but some of the pains that he experienced or the difficulties and sabr he had to do was of a different caliber, where even the children now that will go there will be fathered by, well, not fathered, but they'll be looked after by Ibrahim alayhi salam. But why exactly? He's Khalilullah, he's the friend of Allah who's been given that specific title. So it's a status that he has. But why exactly? Allahu A'lam, these are just possibilities. We don't 100% know.
But Prophet Muhammad already met in Masjid Al-Aqsa when he leads the Salah.
Yeah.
So he met all of the messengers.
He would have led the Salah and met them, but the actual lengthy conversations were happening within the heavens. Anything else? Surah Al-Aq. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أعوذ again ذال but this time ذال not زال tongue under the front two teeth أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عبدا إذا صلى أرأيت إن كان على الهدى أو أمر بالتقوى أرأيت إن كذب وتولى كذب زال ألم يعلم بأن الله يرى كلا لئن لم ينته
كلا
من بعد هذه إخفاء دعية كلا لئن لم ينته لنسفعا بالناصية لنس السين صاد again ناصية كاذبة خاطئة خاطئه don't make into a ya خاطئه فليدع ناديه سندع الزبانيه كلا لا تطعه واسجد واقترب everyone just do a set there.